I sang, never that well, but I enjoyed it. Thanks for coming. Man, I'm amazed. Our preacher's here tonight. That's impressive. Brother Carey's service is tomorrow. You're going to be in church Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I told him. How many have been here every service this week? You've been very faithful. Thank you so much. Thank you for the nice room. Thank you for all your kindness. Thank you, preacher, for your fellowship. I enjoyed being here very, very much. And I had a little something, and I lost it on the way in. Let me see if I can recover it. I might or might not be able to do this. Yeah. Preacher, would you come out of here for a second? In the military and in law enforcement, there is something known as a challenge coin. Goes back to the days of the Roman Empire. The general would make a coin and give it to a soldier who was particularly valiant in battle. And it was my privilege to receive some of those. I kept every one I've ever been given. I liked them. So a while back, I had one made up. On one side, it says, preach the word, has my name. The other side, there's a little logo of two hands shaking. And around the perimeter, it says, friendship, fellowship, and faithfulness. I want your preacher to know, and I want you to know, that I appreciate his friendship. I enjoy his fellowship, and I admire his faithfulness. Would you help me thank him for being a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ?
You're a blessing.
Amen. Get with him you want. And that and a $10 bill buy you a half a cup of coffee at any Starbucks. Romans chapter 8. Romans the 8th chapter. I am out of, I think, one of the books and only one copy left of two, three others. If you want anything that I run out of, I'll charge you the regular price, whatever the special deal is, and then I'll mail it to the church and pay the postage. So I don't want anybody to be disappointed. So I'll say a little bit tonight. I got to get up way before breakfast tomorrow. My plane leaves Spokane at 6:10 a.m. I see that look on the preacher's face. It is a, well, good luck to you, brother. Well, I still have the keys to his truck, so. And I appreciate him letting me use that all week. No, you better worry about that. Oh, then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Lord, as far as I know, I'm at the place this time for me to be for tonight. Use, I pray, draw us to yourself. Cause us to see your grace, to obey you, and be willing to begin to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. There is a not please God. That's a scriptural reality. That's what the Bible says. The plowing of the wicked is sin. Because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Worldly Christians cannot please God. Dear, well-meaning, faithful, and depending on their effort, cannot please God. We are all prone to self-reliance. Now, do you really believe that? 4 years. When I started counseling, I knew what they meant involved. I had no idea what I was doing. Preacher people would come in. Brother Jordan, every time I thought I heard it all, I heard something else. And I'd pray, and I'd get counsel, and I'd talk to them. But after a while, I knew what could help them. And I would say, well, you need to do this, this, and this. And I was accurate, and I was right. But before I could read, my dad had a little book called Life's Greatest. There were pictures in it, and he showed me how to use the pictures to share the gospel out in New Mexico. And I'll be giving some. He's ready. And then I'll think something like this, Brother Kerry, this would be a great illustration. You want to do this one by yourself? Would you like some help? I took voice lessons in college. Somebody asked me to do it. So years went by, probably 8 or 10 years. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. I knew the song. I ran over it with the Bayard player. Now, I was not saying, why? I'm going to knock their socks off. I was not saying, hey, I bet you Columbia Records wrong, and I can do a contract. But I just thought, I'd tell you what I think of Jesus. And my mind went completely, irretrievably blank, the words to the verse. And I'll get it on the chorus. He is gracious, and his love is everlasting. What he's, Jesus. And I couldn't remember the chorus. I made up the chorus, in chorus. Remember, a lady sings, and she thought, oh, he's found some new words. Self-reliance. Now, maybe you're better than me. You say anything. You say, Lord, help me. These are your children. I'm here to rear them for you. There'd be an arrow pointed in the right direction, and I rear them in your nurture and admonition. Give me wisdom. Maybe you do that. When I did wrong, my mother used to say, I'm going to jump down your throat and dance on your liver. I do not know what that meant. I was pretty sure I did not want it to happen. Now, I'm pretty sure she was not guided by the Spirit of God to say those words. It's muddy. Maybe you ladies, when your husband drags his bird, saying, oh, Lord, I'm supposed to reverence my husband. I'm supposed to submit unto him as unto the Lord. Give me grace to speak words of kindness and love. Maybe that's what you do. Now, women, you're not blameless. One of the many reasons you'll never persuade me that men and women are not intrinsically different. They're biologically, the XXXY is real simple. But there is inbred in every woman an instinctive impulse to make her fill every pocket, every cubbyhole, every little spot in the automobile with something. Napkins, candy wrappers, straw wrappers. You women are crazy. Maybe before you say anything, you say, no, because I love my own body. Help me to reflect that love as I speak. Maybe the leader said. A noted 95% of all Christian work would continue. Wow. Right. 19 out of 20 sermons. 19 out of 20 Sunday school lessons. 19 out of 20 specials. 19 out of 20 times we interact with our spouse. There's a problem. And then the Bible tells us, chapter 5 and verse 17 gives us a principle about our. For the flesh warreth against the spirit. And these two, these are contrary the one to the other. And spirit. Now, theologians like to debate about stuff that they debate. Whether you have the old man and the new man, or the flesh and the new man. The other side says, on the one side says, you have the old nature and the new nature. To be dead, it's an accounting term. You're dead. And my flesh that has been imprinted by the old nature. But I do know this, according to the Bible. There's a part of me that wants to do right. There's a part of me that wants to help people. There's part of me wants to pray for people with a flat tire, wants to minister to somebody who's going through a tough time, and then the slow pokes off the road. There is an understanding. He was mean as the devil. One of the bad ones I know. Fired people on the radio. And somebody didn't tell me he'd fire him. One Sunday, he fired his whole choir. But he'd have crowds of 10,000 in Fort Worth on a Sunday. I couldn't understand it. I was talking to Jay Frank, or his old preacher, been in heaven a long time. And as soon as he said it, it clicked with me, because I'm two men. Nobody should have pulled. He said part of him pulled stools of man. That's our nature. Principle about our nature, principle about our need. Without me, ye can do nothing. Now, I used to be walking in the Spirit, living the crucified life, and abiding in Christ. I'm trying to get those. They're all the same. Everything you do, are you saying, Lord, help me? Either you rely. I was preaching. I introduced to my state on the platform that night. My wife wasn't there. So said, when I was a student in Bible college, your pastor came to preach in chapel. You're preaching on the campus about the matter of friendship evangelism at the debate. And I sat in that chair right over there and I thought, I didn't know that. And the Spirit of God said to me, that's because you didn't do it. Yeah. Now, I was there. I knew I was talking. I actually even knew what I was saying. I did not know there's a debate raging about friendship events. I did not know God would use what I said to effectively end the debate. Help me. I didn't know it. But I was saying, Lord, a preacher named Mike Ward, he now works with a missionary named Edgar Fagali. Ward talked about attending a big conference. And he said that I preached one night. And he said afterwards, preachers that we were together, we got in the car, and he said it was real quiet. We didn't go out to eat. We didn't tell jokes. We didn't talk about the service. All anybody said was, whose room are we going to go to pray? And he said, God did a deep work in our hearts that night. And I sat on his platform and said, I didn't know that. Spirit of God says, that's because you didn't do it. Does the bat know whether it hit home or a single? No. But the batter, rely on God's Spirit to empower and direct and help me with everything. The hardest thing I have to do is to remember to walk in the Spirit. So easy for me to say, I can do that. A preacher called me, big ministry, serious problem. And I knew the answer right away, and I was starting to give it to him, and I said, Lord, help me, this is a big deal. It took me in an entirely different direction and was so much better than what I, the principle, let me talk to you about the path. So how do you live empowered and directed by the Spirit of God? There are two basic schools of thought. Well, just let go and let God. One, you might call the go-get-em approach. Get your lazy cars. You can build a bus route. You can see somebody saved. Go to work. Four simple thoughts on the path. Number one, it's a matter of our walk. Walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I cannot tell you how to be empowered by the Spirit of God for the rest of the week. But let me give you a simple thought that'll help, I think. Your walk is made up of a question. Your walk's made up of a series of steps. It goes off. Party says, I need a Bible. Party says, man, I'm tired. I'll read it later. It's the snow, right? So you reach over and hit that. You get up and read the Bible. You took a step in the. Come on, folks, not hard. No trick questions. You're driving to work. The news is on. The main message of the media is stay tuned. Right after the break, we're going to tell you about a two-headed alien that has invaded the body of President Biden. Who want to hear about that? And the commercials are kind of bad, and the music's nasty. And someone says, you ought to turn that down. But someone says, well, if I turn it down, I don't know when I got to turn it back on. I might miss the story about the two-headed alien. Turn it off, took a step in the. You get to work. There's a guy there. He is a jerk. A first-class, double-barreled, triple-stitch jerk. But you've been trying to witness to him. And he says something unkind, something critical. And the perfect response, the greatest insult, the most marvelous put-down pops in your mind. Now, if you say that, you look really good. You have not enhanced your chances of winning into Christ. So if you step in the. Do you get it, folks? Is it too complicated? In the Spirit the rest of your life. But nobody has much trouble knowing your walk is made up of a series of steps. Number two, it's a matter of your will. Verse 13. Neither yield to your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. God says it's your body. Don't yield it to do wrong. Simple. Matter of your will. I suppose I'm a basketball player. I play for the Detroit Pistons. I am traded to the Portland Trailblazers. And the Trailblazers wind up playing the Pistons in the playoffs. All my friends are in Detroit. My family's still in Detroit. Portland bought my contract. If I'm an honest man, who do I play for? Portland. Why? Because they own me. Doesn't matter what I feel like doing. Doesn't matter what you feel like doing. He owns us. God says, matter your will, don't yield your members. Instruments of unrighteousness and the sin. Number three, it is a matter of my weakness. Romans chapter 7, verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth, say it if you but no good thing. About you, nothing. Brother Monk, you know what's good about you? Nothing. You know what's good about me? Nothing. Nothing. I don't have anything in my flesh that's any use to God. I cannot accomplish anything in my flesh that matters for eternity. Same principle in 2 Corinthians. Turn over there if you don't mind. Lest I should be exalted above measure. Through the abundance of the rest, I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might differ thee. My strength is made perfect in glory. Gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that God is not looking for strong people who will help him out and trust him to use them for his purpose.
Amen.
John chapter 7. One of the many passages. They have the Lord Jesus saying, I go not up to this feast. And then if you say you're not going to do something and then you do it, you are a feast. Brother Lett, you going to stop preaching? Not yet. But here's the Lamb. But not yet. Verse 7, verse 37. The last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, out of his. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost, he said, I'll tell you how you have the fresh water of the Spirit of God flowing through you and empowering you. He said, you got thirst. It is a matter of your want. Would you like God to use you in ways you have no idea? Would you like to be used to direct people to walk in the Spirit, to follow Christ, to disciple them? Would you like to be used to influence your social class, to live a life that pleases God? Would you like for God to do great and mighty things in your life and in your church? He wants thirsty. So, we got to clear up this confusion. Is it trust or is it obey? Is it let God and let go, or is it get up and get to work? Let me illustrate it. I asked for a vacuum cleaner. Y'all have a beautiful church, nicely kept. I appreciate all the improvements that have been made since I was here last time. And I have just a little couple while I'm preaching here. Why are you looking at me like that? Oh, you want me to plug it in? All right. Let's see if we can do that. All right, here we go. Figure that one. So, is this a plug? Man, it's hard to figure it. I'm going over here. This one looks better. We got it. Now I'm helping clean your church, right? Right? Why not? I was pushing it and you told me to plug it in. Then I plug it and you tell me to push it. Make up your mind. Y'all are very inconsistent. Here's what the Bible says. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Then it says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Wherefore we labor, striving mightily according to his and obey. It's not plug in or push the vacuum. It's push the vacuum while it's plugged in. It is not inactive dependence or active independence. It is active dependence. It is getting up and going to work and asking God to use you and saying all the time, Lord, I cannot do this. You can. I'm depending on you. A few years back, I got stuck on that verse in Acts where the Spirit of God moved Luke to summarize, encapsulate the life of Christ. And he said about the Lord Jesus, who went about doing good, healing all the oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And it says right before that how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. So I thought, I'm going to try to do good. Krista in college. Our daughter Katie had my other car and had my wife's car. It was a 2005 electric blue PT Cruiser convertible. My wife loved that car. She knew every spec, spot, tiny thing in that car. I'd been out soul and had a late class to teach at a Bible Institute. Stopped at Walmart to buy some Clear American beverage I like. Got in the store and the lady in front of me in the checkout line tried to use a check. And the lady at the cash register said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry. I'm sure this, your name's not on it." Well, she said, "My husband's name on it." And the lady trying to cash the check said, "I'm going to kill him. I told him he needed my name on there." I went about doing good. I said, "Ma'am, let me help you. I have some money. You write me the check. I'll pay the lady at the register, and you can get your stuff." And she said, "Are you sure?" Ladies, never ask a man if he is sure. Men are always sure. We are not always right, but we're always sure. Track. I said, "Yeah, then we do it." Gave her a track. I gave the cashier a track. Cashier said, "Well," she said, "my husband was like, I do." I told him how much money I gave my wife every week and some things I did for her. And the cashier said, "Wow, you ought to go around the country and give talks on how to be a good husband." Baptist preacher, then to do some couples retreats most years. She said, "No, don't talk to me." I said, "See that email, that phone number on that track? You give me a call or send me an email, I'll send." And I thought, you know, I'm doing good. I helped this lady. That's a good testimony. The other lady, nice. They're likely going to read those tracks, maybe they get saved. I'm doing good. And when I got there, some dirt ball even opened the door to put in the Clear American. Straight with guy had an ashtray on his dashboard. And I had this thought, I have a twisted mind. This starts and put them all around his car. Oh, brother. So I backed the car out. Started putting the Clear American into the car. And then I heard, "Hi, Pastor." Ann and Dee Dee Hewitt, mother and daughter, driving by. I said, "Hi. Do you know what I would have been doing when they came by? If I'd done whatever, how would you explain that?" Now, here's the point. Do you know where I got off track? It wasn't when I got irritated because that car is parked so close. It wasn't when I thought, "I'm going to put grocery carts all around this car." It was way back in Walmart. A lot of people get off track in Walmart. Not at Lowe's, but at Walmart. When I said, "I'm doing good." And ought to have been saying, "Lord, help me. Lord, help us." And may these simple thoughts encourage and enable and motivate us to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Brother Willette, God's Spirit has spoken to me. I could not say that I walk in the Spirit like the Bible commands me to. But by His grace, I want to begin to take those right steps. You pray with me about that. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. If you lifted the hand, would you come right now? Find a place to do business with God. God bless you. It's all right. Just come. I know we're supposed to stand and do music, but it'll be okay. It is good to develop the habit of immediate obedience to the Spirit of God. I was in a bowling alley with my dad years ago and talked about a preacher that we were going to try to help. He says, you haven't heard them? I said, yeah. Dad didn't have any money at that point in his life. But he had a $50 bill tucked away in his wallet, and he pulled it out, and he said, here, give him this. I said, Dad, you don't have to do that. We're going to take care of him. We'll take an offering tonight for him. I'll never forget what my dad said. He said, son, I would have gotten that if I do not obey those impulses of the Spirit of God, Lord, please, don't let any of us talk ourselves out of obeying you. In Jesus' name, please, need to do business with God, you come find a place at this altar, make your seat an altar if you want to. Thanks for loving us and helping us. Thank you for your work in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Able to begin for letting me come. You're all so kind. Thank you. Last time I was here, you're extremely generous. Time, I wound up paying for my own plane ticket. They charged me for the room when I left, and I didn't get into any offer to be way better treated than I deserve. So thank you for that. My wife could spend on the grandkids. You cannot get my wife totally conservative. When it comes to the grandkids, she makes Congress looking at you, and praying God continues to use you and bless you in a great way.
Take our hymn books out. We're going to go ahead and sing. And if God's still speaking to your heart, or we would urge you, we'd beseech you to trust Christ. We'd be glad to show you how you could know that you're saved.
Amen. Take my life and let it be 611.